Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome back in. Straight up 12 o'clock here on the Midday Show. Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the radio.com app. Nick Kalin for Andy Bunker today. Lunchtime Falcons report in about 20 minutes. The big clip in just a moment. But we wrapped up the second hour of the show, Randy Mack, and we were talking about unsolved mysteries in the Twilight Zone with Mike Leach. And we've got some clarification. It was Robert Stack was the guy who creeped you out.
Yeah, that just his voice with that music, man. I was like, I can't sit here and watch it. Back in them days, we had one TV. And so everybody had to watch whatever mama was watching. We all had to watch whatever mama was watching. And so she's like Unsolved Mysteries. I remember being a youngin' and grandma would, I'm talking about the black and white Twilight Zone. And when grandma had that theme on, like, because we know, like, no, you're not as old as me, but people, do y'all remember when TV went off? And like they had they played the national anthem and had that start? Yep. Like, that's how old I am. Well, I ain't that old. We just didn't have good cable. You know, we had the regular channel. And, you know, I wonder, does that still happen? Like, when TV go off and then they play the Star Spangled Banner. I still wonder if they do. I mean, between, I'm not the only one that got creeped out by that. Mm-hmm. And I hear they brought back Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix and also the Twilight Zone. But there's a lot of Folgers lovers out there. And I'm so proud. I'm so proud to be a Folgers lover. Yes, thank you.
What was the jingle back in the day? Like Folgers in your cup?
Whatever, man. Yes, but of course we got y'all millennials talking about some Cafe Bustella. I tried it. It was cool, but it cost too much and there wasn't enough coffee in it.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Best part of the week, getting up. See, Miss Robbie, you see, no, Miss Robbie, ain't nobody studying you, Miss Robbie. Miss Robbie cracking on me.
All right, let's get. Oh, there we go. Nice.
Yes, sir.
I think we've kind of jumped the shark on all jingles, haven't we? Like, is there any more jingles that are still good today?
I don't know, but everybody's throwing out some new ones. You remember Tales from the Crypt? Yeah, with the little creepy man. Yeah, that was a good one too. Yeah, that's all good though, man. But yeah, and the thing about it is, y'all throwing all these coffees at me. I bet they ain't got no jingle like Folgers.
No.
Yeah, exactly. At least my coffee got a song.
But you know what, though? Back in the day, the Dunkin' Donuts guy was pretty damn good. The Time to Make the Donuts guy?
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
That being said, let's get to the big clip of the day.
Well, we played pretty well for three quarters. We just had a very poor fourth quarter from a production standpoint, but we had a lot of good plays in the game. We ran it the best we've ran it all year. We got off to a fast start in both the first quarter and the third quarter. That third quarter drive was a pretty drive to start the second half. We just need to finish. We just need to finish games. I mean, the momentum definitely shifted, and you know, we just did not do a good job finishing in the fourth quarter, and that's why we tried to stay aggressive and felt like we could still get some plays down the field on them.
That was Falcons OC Dirk Cutter as part of the big clip of the day, brought to you by Johnson and All Day. Injury All attorneys, day. Visit johnsonallday.com. Randy, like, I think the easiest thing to do as a sports radio host or just a fan is be Monday morning quarterback and question the play calling the next day after a loss. And I feel like it's so easy to do. But you know what? I don't care if Dirk is going to stay aggressive and keep throwing. I don't care if he's going to hammer Todd Gurley with the lead and try to bleed the clock out. I just want it to work. So I don't care what he does. Just get it done.
Well, the thing, Nick, in the break right there to play my man John Chuckery, his clip with it, from his show and talk about on 4th and 1, it just seems like you don't know what you want to do. It really does. And you asked me something early in the show about the game management part and everything. To me, sometimes when the Falcons get into 3rd and short and 4th and short, they don't know what they want to do. They honestly don't. It never seems like it's a smooth operation. You know, it always seems like there's either, you know, Matt's getting pressure, or they ran a crossing route. They were meshing. They were trying to rub the defenders off of each other. Didn't seem like the rub didn't get right. Matt was under pressure. It always seems like it's something on 3rd and short when this team is trying to run out the clock or get a much needed first down, and they just, for some reason, every single time, they can't seem to get it together. And so when you look at the clock management part about it, I mean, I know, I understand, be aggressive. But what did I tell you about being aggressive? Being aggressive, you can be aggressive with your 5 linemen, your 2 tight ends, your fullback, and your 225-pound running back, and going forward. You can still be aggressive like that and also help your defense out. You had all those 3 and outs, and your defense is on his heels. Why not give them a break? You know, make them use their timeouts. That's the thing that gets more and more frustrating as we you know, try to get Sunday out of our minds.
No doubt about it. Big clip number 2. Let's get to the other side of the ball. How about Falcons defensive back Bleedy Ray Wilson talking about the improvements that need to be made for Monday Night Football?
Right now it doesn't look like it, but we're a good football team, and we have to put it in this week in practice and turn that right to show it the way that it should look.
All right, man, I love the confidence. I love the fact that he says we're a good football team. I don't have to believe that you're a good football team, but I do love the confidence. But I got to tell you, I don't know how this defense is going to slow down Aaron Rodgers with or without Devontae Adams.
No, and it doesn't seem like they will, because what in the first 3 weeks of this season has this defense shown you, especially in the back end? They can't stop people. They can't play the proper technique that don't allow these big plays. We know that everybody know, well, not everybody, but everybody should know that when you're playing that zero blitz that the Falcons were running on that last touchdown, that you can't give up the inside. There's nobody there. And what happened? Boop, off the ball, boop, touchdown. These are things that I'm talking about. You can't do these type of things. And you're talking about a passing game and Aaron Rodgers that, you know, if you don't get pressure on him, he's going to light you up like he did New Orleans Saints. And the Falcons, defensively, especially on that back end, have not shown the ability to stop anybody from making big plays. You heard Rashock say, that's the play I was talking about yesterday. Mm-hmm. They had 2 people right there in front of Jimmy Graham. 2 of them. And neither one of y'all can at least bat the ball down? I mean, these are the things that you're talking about when you talk about we're a good football team. No, you're not. 2 weeks. No, you're not a good football team. Y'all got some good players. Got some good players on your football team, but y'all ain't no good football team because you don't lose games the way y'all lost games these past 2 weeks.
Yep. It is the big clip on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Nick Kale in for Andy Bunker today. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you can use the radio.com app and hit up that rewind function. All right, let's get to the dogs. Kirby Smart. He's going to be continually peppered with this question until we see one guy, and we see one guy succeeding. Here's Kirby talking about all options at quarterback.
We're not putting ourselves in a pigeonhole and saying we can only have one quarterback. We've got to develop all our quarterbacks. So I know y'all are looking at it in terms of Auburn right now, who's going to play, what's the quarterback, where we're trying to look at our entire roster and say, okay, how are we going to be the best we can be in week 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 down the line? Because there's some guys on our team that are going to be better down the line than maybe the guy in front of them, but the only way they're going to get there is through playing.
All right, Randy Mack, you played in this league, you played in this conference on the collegiate level. There's an old adage that if you have 2 quarterbacks, you have none. Well, Georgia right now, I guess, technically has 3 quarterbacks. Do you believe they have 3 quarterbacks, or do they have none?
Well, I think they have none. I honestly do. And now it is, you know, I'm not worried about the situation. I think because our team is so talented. But if you don't have that trigger man, that's not going to lose you the football game. Now, you can go out there and manage it and everything, and we can work around some of your you know, some of your defaults or whatever. But if you go out there, you can't lose the football game if we need you to make a play. And I don't know where they're going to go from here. It is Tuesday. The game's not till Saturday night. And Kirby shouldn't, he should not make the decision who's going to be the starting quarterback Saturday. But, yeah, I mean, this is a problem. This is a definite problem when you look at the quarterback position right now for Georgia. I don't know what JT Daniels is. You talked about, you know, 2 years ago, 14-10. We seen him play, but he was a young pup then. Then he gets hurt. So we don't know what he is. I told you, I saw that big old knee brace on the side. I was like, damn, he going to be able to move with that? But maybe they don't need him to move. I don't know. Man, I mean, I think that if this offensive line plays better, we'll be fine. And especially if we don't have all the doggone penalties, we'll be fine. But, yeah, right now, who is the quarterback of Georgia? I don't even think Kirby knows who's going to be the quarterback yet on Saturday.
One guy trying to make the case to be the quarterback is Stetson Bennett. He came in early in the second quarter in relief of DeJuan Mathis and guided Georgia to a 37-10 victory. Here is Stetson Bennett on making that relief appearance.
I was expected to come in, you know, just because if you don't, then it's kind of poor when you do. But I always expect to. First half was pretty poor. Second half was better, but I mean, a few times I checked the protection that I shouldn't have on that 2-point conversion. It worked out, but I mean, maybe it won't next time. So just stuff like that I got to fix.
I'm starting to wonder.
Damn Bennett.
Yeah. Maybe I'm jumping the gun here. And I'm not a big believer in Stetson Bennett. I think he is what he is.
Right.
But could he be like Kirby's Mac Jones to Alabama where you take over for a winner and you're just solid?
Yeah, he could. And that's the funny thing because we were just having fun with Stetson Bennett. Yeah, Stetson going to end up being a quarterback. I'll be honest with you, Nick. I don't know, man. Stetson Bennett, he's a guy that's been around like Shock was talking about, went to JUCO and everything. To me, he seems like he's a typical Alabama quarterback when Nick was coaching the way Kirby coaches now. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember those quarterbacks? Just manage your game. Nothing overly special. Won't lose it for you, but won't win it if everything don't go right around them. So this could be the case. I don't know. But we'll see going forward. I think that, you know, when you look at Saturday, maybe all three of them play. I doubt it. I would hate to see that unless it's a blowout, which I don't think it will be. But, I mean, I'm just up in the air and everybody. And, you know, we'll have our guy Rodney DeBalsi on tomorrow, actually. And he's just in tap with that program as anybody that we have. So maybe he can shed some light on it. But I'm not going by no more. He looked good in practice. I know that, Nick.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Ain't going by that no more.
No, I hear that. Big clip here on the Midday Show. Let's get to some baseball. I mean, we need something positive to talk about, right? We got baseball tomorrow. I mean, baseball technically gets underway today with the postseason. The Braves and Reds, they'll get game one of their three games set tomorrow. Let's hear from the skipper, Brian Snicker, because we all want to know, is the pitching good enough to win this series?
Yeah, I'm hoping, you know what, it'll be our regular lineup with Max starting, and I'm hoping, you know, and Martin will be a day-to-day thing. You know, we'll see. He'll be in here tomorrow for treatment, and we'll just see, you know, the next couple of days where he's at.
I mean, you got to really cross your fingers and hope that Martin will be able to contribute in some way, because this is kind of one of those series where guys like that become invaluable.
Yeah, I mean, you need that reliever like Martin. And when you look at – hold on, I didn't say his name, Brian. We didn't say his name. got some concerns, though. I forgot about Austin Riley. He says that Austin Riley's not 100%, but he'll play. What's going over Ronnie? He seems like he got little bumps and bruises right now. But, I mean, we ain't got time for that, man, because this is what happened last year. You went into the playoffs unhealthy. And with the three games is the thing where you can't get off to that bad start. You said it earlier, Nick, you got to find a way to grab at least the first. You got to grab the first game. You got to win all two games. But you got to grab this first one. And Max Fried, I mean, he's our guy. He's our dude. And he's going up against another really good pitcher. But the Braves got to find a way to get this first one, man, because, you know, I just – you know, we as Braves fans, we already have that. Here we go again, Phil. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to have it. I'll let other people have it, whatever. And my man talking about the Braves don't have no pressure on them because nobody thinks they're going to win. Well, then don't watch it then, bud. You call me bud. I ain't your bud, first of all. But I have to believe in them. Just like I can't turn my back on this Falcons season right now. Because we went through this last year with this squad, man. Every damn Monday, we're like, what? I don't want to go through that game. So I gotta stick with just that athlete mentality sometimes of, hell, it's a long season. We can get this thing turned around. Instead of being the radio guy like, man, this blank, blankety, blank, blank, blank. And I don't want to be that guy, man. I don't want to be negative Nancy. I don't want to be negative Nina, you know? Yeah. I want to be Positive Pete.
All right. That's going to do it for the Big Clip. And Randy, I love the fact that he called you Bud. I don't know what's more disrespectful. When you get budded, you get bossed, or you get chiefed.
See, I don't got no problem with chief and all that. But
Bud
seems like he looking at me like he's the one 6'4" and I'm 5'8". You know what I'm saying? Hey, Bud. You know what I mean? like he's looking down on me and talking to me.
Bud. All right, coming up in just about a half hour, we've got three damn good questions. But up next, I swear to you, I'm not a loser. I have a life, but I did come up with a theory. I thought about this last night, and I'm telling you, Falcons fans, it's not a pipe dream. It actually could accidentally come to fruition. We'll explain next on the Midday Show.
Ooh, that was a tease right there.
Yeah, it wasn't a tease about that. It took me 20 minutes to write it. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. 12:22, welcome back into the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the radio.com app. Nick in for Andy today. Three damn good questions with Brian coming up in just about 20 minutes. Joe Patrick, 1 hour from now, we'll talk some Braves with him. So, Randy, I swear I'm not a loser. I actually have a life. But I did start thinking yesterday, because I'm a Matt Ryan guy, and I know you're a Matt guy as well. It's not like we are haters of Matty Ice and we're trying to come up with every single way possible to find us a new franchise quarterback. We both believe Matt's a Hall of Famer, right?
Okay.
Okay. So we had some calls yesterday on the show as we were taking calls about the game on Sunday, and people are saying, hey, I think we got to blow this thing up. It's not just DQ and Thomas Dimitroff. It's Matt Ryan as well. So I was thinking about this. And now it likely won't happen, but with new coach, possibly new GM, who knows? I can't rule it out 100%. But let me just throw out a couple of, I guess, elements of precedent. So did we ever expect Tom Brady to be in a Bucs uniform?
Never. I mean, no. This is how confident I was about him never going to Tampa without even really thinking about it, all right, about his decision to go. I said that Giselle wasn't going to no damn Tampa. So that was what I was basing. Giselle ain't going to no damn Tampa, but they in Tampa. So
okay.
I would have never thought, because I was in Miami when that run started, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was Tom Brady, terrific Tom. Tom couldn't do no wrong, nothing. Yep. To this, 20 years later, I would have never thought Tom Brady would have left the Patriots. Never.
Did we ever expect to see Philip Rivers in a Colts uniform?
No,
pretty shocking,
I didn't.
Right?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I didn't think that, man. I thought that, you know, Philip was going to be there. And then last few years with Anthony Lynn there, I kind of like, okay, this kind of is starting to get to a point where Philip might have to move on because he turned the ball over too damn much.
Mm-hmm. Did we ever think we would see, or were we at least shocked or surprised that the Green Bay Packers, with Aaron Rodgers reaching the NFC Championship and still very much looking like he's in his prime, did we expect them to draft Jordan Love in the first round?
That did not surprise me. And here's why. Okay. Because I don't think LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers are going to coexist too much longer. That was the only reason.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could the Falcons, as I bring this to Matt Ryan, could they simply backdoor their way into a Trevor Lawrence or a Justin Fields?
Yep.
And that sweepstakes for one of those two elite quarterbacks, high picks, not by tanking, but just simply being able not to close like we've seen these first couple of weeks. I think we all thought the Falcons would be something more than what they are right now. And right. I look at the NFL right now. Here's the 0-3 teams. The Jets, but they've got Sam Darnold. He's cheap. Bengals are winless. They got Joe Burrow. Texans are 0-3. They've got Deshaun. Giants are 0-3. They've got Daniel Jones. Vikings 0-3. They've got Cousins. There's two teams. The Broncos 0-3. I don't think they believe in Drew Lock. Panthers and Jaguars 1-2. But I don't believe Teddy Bridgewater or Gardner Minshew are long-term solutions. I actually think the way the Falcons are playing football right now, they could backdoor themselves into a top three or four pick in this draft. And all of a sudden, that puts you in play for those guys.
Oh, I mean, the thing with it is that you always got to remember this. If they're in that position, well, there's going to be a new regime. We know that. That's first. That's first and foremost. There's going to be a new regime. And the new regime will have, I'm pretty sure that Mr. Blank will sign off on do what you want to do. Because that's what you're going to have to let him do. You can't force this core of players on him, even though you got so much money invested in him. You can't force it if you want things to change. So I get to where Matt Ryan is. If, say, Justin Fields is there, and say they're number three, and Justin Fields is there at number three, do I think they'll pull the trigger on it? No, I don't think so. Now, Trevor Lawrence, there's somewhere, because the thing with it is, Trevor Lawrence is an Andrew Luck type prospect. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a John Elway type prospect, Peyton Manning type prospect. That's what he is. And so I look at that as him, you know, as you know, a can't-miss prospect. I don't know if Justin Fields is a can't-miss prospect. You know, now I'll know more after this year what he is, and I'm looking forward to watching him play and proving me wrong on that, because I think he is definitely going to be a first-round draft pick. But I don't know if he's willing, if you're going to, you know, because if Matt was in year like 16, 17, that's a possibility, but you just gave him his new extension. That's why when we were talking something about this yesterday, I didn't know. I'm like, what's the implications of moving him or cutting him? I don't know what those implications are. I do know this. Arthur Blank loves him. And if Arthur Blank loves him, that's gonna be the tell all of who's the quarterback and who comes in here.
So here's a couple of more little tidbits to make this seem like not a pipe dream. Ozzie Newsome, who we saw in the box last night, one of the greatest NFL GMs of all time for the Baltimore Ravens, retired 2 years ago. Ozzie Newsome won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. Do you know what Ozzie Newsome's last draft pick was? It was Lamar Jackson. So he had a guy that he was paying big money that won a Super Bowl, and he still said, you know what? We're going with the new wave. We're drafting Lamar. Thomas Dimitroff has showed in the past, hey, I want Julio Jones. I'm willing to give up a boatload to get him. I just don't think it's completely far-fetched that you could either backdoor your way into a top three or four pick with Justin Fields, or even maybe try to make a move if you're that close, if you're the third pick, and give up whatever you got to give up to get a guy like Lawrence. Because if the new regime comes in, assuming that takes place, and they say, you know what, Matt's in year 14, he's not our guy, he still has value, we're going to have to sit here and say, all right, are we going to take a Penei Sewell who could help the offensive line, or Micah Parsons to pair him with Deion Jones, or are we going to go for the quarterback? I don't think it's just sports radio fantasy land. I think there's a small chance that maybe something like that could actually come out to fruition. I think it's crazy talk.
It's a possibility. And when you're talking, and when we're talking about, if they keep on going the way they're going, yeah, they're going to be in the top five somewhere. And there are some big-time prospects. But it's like, okay, you said Micah Parsons. Okay, so that means you're going to move on from Deion, or you're going to move Deion to the weak side. You look at the lineman from Oregon, which just drafted a first-round tackle, and you got Jake Matthews tied up. So where do you go with that? So there's going to be so many. Do you go with the corner out of Ohio State? I mean, there's so many different ways they can go. But I think the ultimate choice will be, if one of those quarterbacks are there, what do you do if you're the Falcons? If you're in that place, and I'm not going to allow myself right now on what's today's date.
September 29th.
Damn, it's almost October.
I know.
Damn, mortgage about to come out this week. Damn it. I thought I had a couple more weeks.
Well, it's a good thing you loaded up on your Starbucks for nine. You know, I thought, your damn, for $9.
I thought I had another more week. But I mean, that will be the forever question if they are positioned to get one of these two quarterbacks. I don't think they'll pull the trigger unless it's Trevor. It's hard for me to say that, because I think the Jets, I like Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold can play. I really do. I just think that he's at a point where you just don't know what's going to go on. Can Dave Gettleman admit he was wrong if Trevor Lawrence is there and pick him when he just took Daniel Jones? I mean, these are the questions that you look at. I know if he's there for the Broncos, you damn right they're going to jump on him, because Dan Marino, I mean, I'm sorry, John Elway, how he still has a job as a general manager.
If his name was John Smith, he would have been fired 2 years ago.
Oh, man, how he just keeps getting the job after all the bad coaching and bad quarterback picks. I mean, it's amazing how he keeps his job. But, I mean, it's been speculated that it's all about Jacksonville. But it's one thing for us and other people, you know, talk about tanking everything. The players ain't tanking. The players themselves will not tank. Now, it's the organization. What they do is they try to put the worst possible players out there in order for you to tank and lose. But people are talking about the tank for Trevor and all here in Atlanta. Yeah. The players ain't tanking.
Yeah, I think people need to realize that tanking isn't a lack of effort from the players you have. It's the front office putting together a team so void of talent that no matter how hard they play, they can't win.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. That's why it's easier to tank in football, really. I'm sorry, in basketball than it really is in football. You know, it's a little bit different. But I think it's just too early for me. I'm not going to get into the Falcons need to pick Trevor or Justin or somebody in top five. Because the thing about it is every time, because I remember this time last year, Nick, and people were going through it, tanking. I'm like, no, nobody's going to tank, because you know what's going to happen with the Falcons? The Falcons are going to win just enough games to pick number 14. You know what I'm saying? They're going to win just enough games. They're not going to lose every game this year. But you know what they're going to do? They're going to win just enough games to get pick number 16 or 17 or something like that. That's what they always do.
And then they'll draft a receiver from Alabama. They'll draft Jalen Waddle.
It never fails, man. Yep. It never fails. It never fails, man. I mean, that's the funny thing about the Falcons. Like, you can't even lose right, you know, in certain people's eyes. I think you should never want to lose anything. But, yeah, they'll find a way to go 7-9 and get the number 17 pick again or somewhere in that area.
I mean, it's kind of like the equivalent of years ago with Josh Smith and Joe Johnson with the Hawks always being the 8 seed. Like, you either want to be really good or you want to be really bad and get great picks. You don't want to be stuck in the middle, which is purgatory.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're gonna stank and you're trying to rebuild, then stank. But the thing about it is, them bros up there in Flyer Brent, they ain't bought that right there, because you still have a core of players on this squad that got pride in what they want to do. Now, that's why I said they got some good players. They just ain't a good football team. It's a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm a Mac guy. I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's my guy. I just, you know, I don't think it's completely fantasy bizarro world to think that this could actually happen, maybe by accident. That's all I'm saying. All right, three damn good questions coming up next. Brian Gebhardt's got some college football conversation locked and loaded, ready to go as we continue on the Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Well, 1241, welcome back into the Midday Show. Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the radio.com app. Nikhil in for Andy. He'll be back tomorrow. Big final hour coming up, including 1 hour from now with another Ask Me Anything. So questions, you can send them in on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. You can do it on Twitter. Also, you can hit up Wendy on her Instagram, at Wendy Radio. So get those questions in. Yes. You've got an hour to do so.
Hey, Nick. Hey, Randy. Nick, we remember in the NFL No Huddle, we were talking about Earl Thomas. Mm-hmm. Well, according to the lovely and talented Miss Josina Anderson, she said that she's talked with Earl about his visit, and it was scheduled for today. It's been put on hold for the time being. So Earl will not be a Titan anytime soon.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. I mean, this thing, right? I mean, this thing that just happened today, to the Titans, I mean, it's got them scrambling. I think it's got. I'm not saying that this Earl Thomas thing is related to it. I'm just thinking in general, because you know, you look at all the sports shows, and it's like, you know, this is what we know now. This is what we know now, and so it's like, we'll see.
We shall see. We've got three damn good questions coming up in a moment, but quickly, Dukes and Bell will have Dan Quinn on today, as well as Braves general manager Alex Anthopoulos. I just saw that from Willie P's Twitter. And Willie P just CC'd me in on a tweet, because I guess he heard our conversation about the Falcons and maybe accidentally backdooring their way into a quarterback this year. Apparently, Trevor Lawrence says he was a Falcons fan growing up, but he didn't watch a ton of NFL.
What the hell I mean?
So? I'm just going to throw – I don't know how you don't watch the NFL growing up, but – the main thing that really stood out to me was he was a Falcons fan. So, start splicing the dots together.
You mean to tell me he wasn't no Jacksonville fan, but if Jacksonville pick a number one, he ain't going?
I don't think so. Would you want to go to Jacksonville?
Hell no, I ain't want to go to daggone Jacksonville. I mean, ain't nothing wrong. Ain't nothing wrong. I done had some good times at Duval. I have had some good times. Silver Fox, one of the most underrated shakes ever. one of the most underrated shakes, poke chop sandwich on fire. It's just dealing with, you know, she might be a little seasoned. They have some seasoned dancers in there. As we like to say, Nick. Mother daughter duos. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
a little seasoned.
I'll tell you what, the first time I ever step foot in Jacksonville will be for the cocktail party with Georgia Florida. How about that?
Oh, in Jacksonville's cool. Oh, you never been to Jacksonville?
I've never been to Jacksonville, no.
Oh, yeah, Jacksonville's cool, man. Duval's cool, man. It's cool. It's just, you know.
I got you. It's cool. All right. Let's get to three damn good questions.
Time now for some damn good questions about stuff and things with Brian Gephardt.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.